I'm Pastor Kenny Luck, one of the lead pastors here. I'm excited if you're joining us. Welcome to everybody who remains the remnant on the patio, right? The chapel service in an air-conditioned chapel, right? And everybody online sitting in the comfort of home, we're very excited that you're joining us. We're finishing up, as Pastor Jordan mentioned, a series called Enter In. And we're looking at the different dimensions of worship. We're learning from the Bible, not learning from tradition or maybe backgrounds that we've come from. We're learning from the Bible, the worship God loves and the worship that God desires from us individually and then collectively as a body of believers. And we're seeking to express worship in the ways that God wants it and the ways God desires of it. And today we're talking about a form of worship that we're calling a hallelujah anyway, right? We're gonna be learning about the sacrifice of praise. And just to get us thinking in the right direction, I wanna ask you some questions. Can life be good and bad at the same time? Yes or no? Yes, it can. Can we be at peace and seeking at the same time? Yeah, we can. Can we be content but also curious at the same time? Yes or no? Of course we can. Can we be blessed and challenged at the same time? Yes, we can. Can we believe in God and be hurting at the same time? Absolutely. Well, that's where we're going to go. I remember, you know, when I got a call at a weird hour, it was my sister Debbie, and she had just told me that my brother Pat had taken his own life. And, you know, suicide is sad in and of itself, but accompanying that were sad revelations connected to his death that I discovered that were connected to me, which explained many bad things that happened to me personally, and I didn't even know they were connected to the bad things that my brother did. So terrible things. And I remember that week was the hardest week of my life, one of the hardest weeks of my life, where I had to go break the coroner's seal on his apartment in Marina Del Rey. I had to enter the place where I saw the bottle of alcohol and the blood pressure medication. I had to sift through all this stuff. And as I'm sifting through all this stuff, I'm discovering things that are so bad and terrible. It's just breaking me. And I remember having to go to his workplace and pick up his last check, take his car and bring it to my house. And then I had to get on a flight and go up north and do a memorial. And I saw my mom. My mom was just hurting so badly. And I'm walking around with all of this knowledge and all of this stuff that I just can't articulate because I didn't want other people to carry those burdens around in the midst of an already sad moment. And I remember getting back from Northern California, and it's a Sunday night. I have to go to work the next day. And I remember I was sitting on our mauve, pink, and blue country-themed couch. And I was literally, you ever seen pictures of babies who are trying to comfort themselves? And I have my Bible, and I'm rocking like this with my Bible because I just don't know what to do. I believe, but I'm also hurting tremendously. And I'm rocking there in my Bible, and I'm just, my faith is fighting with my feelings, and all of a sudden I'm just like, okay, I go like this. And at that second, I will never forget this. God met me in a way that I don't think I've ever experienced before, that I haven't experienced since, but I felt literally the weight and burden and stress and sadness literally start going like this. And it was just like leaving my body. It was just like, you know, when Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me because I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for yourselves. For my burden is easy and my yoke is light. That's what happened in that moment. I actually experienced the living Christ in that moment. And I'm like, okay, why did God respond that way? It sort of reminds me of, you know, that great theological story called Aladdin. And you know when like Jafar throws Aladdin into the bottom of the ocean? Are you tracking with me? And he's stuck there, and you know, the power that is in Aladdin's life is the genie, right? And the genie wants to help him, but he can't help him unless he says to help him. So the genie's like, come on, Aladdin, you gotta give me something. I can't, yeah, I need you to do something. And so the current in the ocean makes his head kind of go, he goes, I'll take that as a yes, right? And he ferrets him out of the water and brings him out to dry land. There's Aladdin there. He helps him. And you know, my hunch about why God kind of met me in that moment, as to why he moved so strongly, is that he knew I was so broken down, and he knew I was so depleted, that like the genie, he was just looking for like the involuntary head nod. You know, it was this is all I could do. It's the very end of my faith. It was all I could do, but I did believe in God's goodness, and I did believe in the middle of my hurt and challenge that God was present and God was good, amen? And you know what God said? I'll take it. And he invaded that little act of faith at the very end of the rope, right? That you're good and you're present, and he invaded that. Well, what do we call faith steps? What do we call prayers and songs? What do we call faith acts in the midst of hurt? The Bible calls it a sacrifice of praise. Let's say that together. A sacrifice of praise. And on your outline, if you brought those in, if you're looking at them, we'll put it up on the screen. But in Hebrews 13, 15, we see this concept of a sacrifice of praise. It says this, and I would like us to read it together if you have your notes, or you can look at the verse on the screen. Ready? Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. So what we're gonna do for the short time that we have together is we're gonna break down what that means. We're gonna look at some biblical examples. We're gonna look at the why. What is the basis for even doing that? Because it's counterintuitive to do. And then we're gonna look at four simple ways that a believer offers the sacrifice of praise in the midst of challenge. But when you break it down, right, there's the first part of the phrase. There's a sacrifice. Now, I looked at all these definitions, but I boiled it down and kind of created a little definition. When you sacrifice, it's the surrender of something for the sake of someone or something else, right? That's what a sacrifice is. It's the surrender of something for the sake of someone or something else. And then praise is praise, right? That's when we release reverence, respect, regard for who God is. We just did it. We released reverence, respect, honor for who God is, that he's good, and the long list of other things that God is and does. So when you combine sacrifice and praise, in the Bible, it's when I surrender in faith my confusion, my disillusionment, my hurt over what has befallen me or what's befalling me for the sake of affirming God's goodness, God's person, and God's will. Does that make sense? It's a sacrifice. You're surrendering your insides, and you have every right to feel exactly how you feel. And you're saying in faith, I'm gonna surrender that, and I'm gonna affirm what's also true in this moment. That God is good, and God is present, and God has a purpose, and God has a plan for me. In other words, we delight the heart of God when you don't feel grateful, and yet you affirm God's goodness and you thank him for his presence. Anybody ever been in that boat? Okay. Yeah, that's when you offer the sacrifice of praise. That's the context for offering the sacrifice of praise. I mean, when you feel done, any guys ever say that? Like, I'm done, okay? And those of you who said, no, I've never said that, you're lying. All right? But what does a believer do? What's the alternative? Right? I mean, when the unscripted challenges and hurt enter your life. Well, I wanna tick through some biblical examples. Right? What do you do? Unscripted. Hurt, challenge, trauma comes into your life. What does a believer do? What's the choice? What's the alternative? Well, we see Joseph in Genesis 50. Check this out. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of so many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Are you kidding me? That's his reaction to being sold into slavery by his brothers? 13 years alone in a prison? Being accused by your boss of sleeping with his wife when that didn't happen either and you ran out of the building? And now all that happens, and now he's the number two guy in Egypt with the power to take it out on those that hurt him. Instead, he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. What's that? That's an act of faith, affirming God's goodness, person, and will in the midst of potential hurt. Then you see Job, right? The most famous sad guy in the Bible and one of the greatest stories, right? In the Bible, because you have the presence of such loss and pain, and then you hear this out of Job's mouth. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. You have David, who is being made a fugitive by a psycho king with lots of resources, hunting him down for doing nothing but following God. And you have David's pain and his faith right next to each other in Psalm 42. It says, why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Let's finish it together. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. That is an act of faith, affirming God's goodness and person and will in the moment. Then you have Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He's watching the destruction and desolation of his city. And he says this, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them well, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet, key word, this I call to mind, and therefore I have what? Hope. Because of the Lord's great love. Let's finish it together. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. What a declaration of faith in the midst. It's an act of faith, affirming God's goodness, person, and will. And then, you know, I love Mary. Can you imagine being Mary, right? In the Gospels, we read, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You're gonna conceive and give birth to a son and you are to call him Jesus. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you. Of course, right? And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Oh, for sure, right? So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Let's finish it together. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Yeah, that's the reaction to the most shocking pregnancy of all history. Okay? It's a sacrifice of praise, right? You got Jesus, the ultimate example, right? There in the Garden of Gethsemane, facing the worst torture any human has ever experienced. Let's read what Jesus said in that moment, Matthew 26. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Sacrifice of praise. an act of faith, affirming God's goodness, God's person, and God's will. Then you have the Apostle Paul, man. I love it. Paul is like unvarnished in how he talks about life. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." Let's finish it together. "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." That's his reaction in a hopeless moment. On the edge of death, beyond his ability to endure, and then his faith kicks in, and he goes, "You know what? Something's going on here. God's not absent, God's present. God's good, God's present." So all of these folks, right? And you can write this down. They all said, "Hallelujah anyway." All right, let's say that together. Hallelujah anyway. That's right. They all said that because they knew that their circumstances did not change God's goodness, and their circumstances didn't change God's presence. In fact, there has to be a strong basis for doing something so counterintuitive in that moment, because we would go, "Well, you know what? We can make a really good case for them not doing that." Okay? Everything was going great. They lost this. Everything happened there. That's a good person. He was put to death. You know, Joseph had a pure heart, and then he got thrown in prison. That's not right. This isn't right. That's not right. We can make a very long list for them not doing, but they chose not to do it. So there has to be a basis for these words and actions of faith in spite of their circumstances, and that's the key thing. Because that phrase, "in spite of their circumstances," applies to everybody here. Amen? Yeah, it applies to everybody here. There's things happening to you that you would never script into your life. Okay? Never. Feelings, behaviors, attitudes, unplanned things, unwelcome interruptions, stuff happening in your marriage, stuff happening with the kids, stuff you would never script it in. But the basis for the sacrifice of praise in those moments is that God's goodness does not change because we taste or see earth's badness. Remember that. It's not like, "Oh, my circumstances changed and that was unplanned. Oh, God must have changed too. He's more distant and he doesn't care." Okay, that is not true. Why? Because God is immutable and God does not change and God is good, which means that God never stops being good. And that's the truth that we just affirmed. See, Jesus, and here we are, folks, we're at the very core of why we're even talking about this. Jesus, wouldn't you agree, tasted earth's badness? But aren't you glad that that did not mean God stopped being good in that horrible moment? Aren't you glad? I'm glad. I'm glad that God didn't stop being good in that horrible moment, or that God stopped being present. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. Let's finish it together. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Powerless? That was the right time for God's goodness? 100%. Die for the ungodly? Those are the target of God's goodness? 100%. You see, the basis for those examples that we read and for us as believers in God to offer him the sacrifice of praise, listen, everybody look up here, is the essence of the gospel itself and what God did for you. That didn't make natural sense either. It didn't make sense. Everybody watching what was happening to Jesus were like, "Nope, that does not make any sense. That was not supposed to be a part of the script. That was not supposed to happen. He's the good person. He's the compassionate person. He's the multiplier of loaves and fish. That is not supposed to happen to him." And yet it was happening. And in that space where it was happening, God continued to be good. God continued to be loving, and God continued to be present. That's the basis. You know, it's counterintuitive that God would act that way and use those means to accomplish his purposes. But that's why he's God and we're not. Amen? Amen. He did it in a way that maybe we wouldn't have wanted him to do it, but he chose to do it by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemning our sin in his flesh through Roman crucifixion. God was present. God was loving him. God was working out your salvation and my redemption and your forgiveness and your eternity at the same time. See, we can offer the sacrifice of praise because God's goodness is unchanging. Now, that's the gospel. God's goodness didn't change because that was happening. In fact, God was present and working powerfully. It didn't look positive, didn't feel positive, didn't taste good. It was a bitter day, a bitter experience, and bitter thing to be a part of. But did God redeem that? Yes. Was his presence in that? Yes. Was his love expressed through that? Yes. Was his goodness coming to us through what happened? Yes. Did it make sense? No. But is that true still? Yes. And that is where faith comes in. Either God is who he says he is all the time, or he's not. Which makes him, if he's not good all the time, which then makes him untrustworthy. Because that means that he's flip-flopping back and forth. Well, sometimes he's good when things are good, but when things are bad, he's distant and bad. Okay, that's not the God that we serve. We serve the God of the gospel, the God who could redeem what looked horrible and made it into good. You see, if he can redeem the torture of his own son and out of it secure our salvation and redemption and our future glory, do you think that he can redeem whatever I am going through and whatever you are going through? 100%. All right? Gold star to the woman in the front who just said that. 100%. Can we say it in faith? 100%. Yes. The Bible says this in Philippians 1:27. Make sure you check this off in your Bible. Key verse for the Christian life. Let's read it together. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Let's say it again. Whatever happens. Yeah, whatever happens, we're gonna believe. Whatever happens, God's gonna stay good. Whatever happens, we're gonna believe in his presence and purpose. We might not understand it, we might not feel it, but we're gonna believe it. But let's be clear, I wanna be very, very clear. This is not denial, this is not Pollyanna responses that are spiritual, this is not a crutch, it's not minimizing what happens, it's not stuffing emotions. That's not what I'm talking about. The sacrifice of praise says that just as real as the pain and the hurt are true, so God's goodness and so God's presence and so God's love are just as real and just as near and just as ready to get involved in that circumstance. You can say amen. Amen. Because it is. And some of you are really struggling right now with that. But you, maybe subconsciously, don't even know it, but you've offered the sacrifice of praise because you have voted with your feet, you have voted with your presence, you voted with your online click that you want to seek the Lord in the middle of your hurt and your challenge. You're here. And God sees that you're here. And God sees that you're seeking. You're offering the sacrifice of praise. So there's group one. You're in a lot of pain. And I can't change that. You're just like me, you know. The unscripted thing has happened to you. There's group two. You're not in a lot of pain, but you know people who are. And then there's group three. You're just in the pause mode. There's a pause because Jesus said life will bowling ball you in one way or another. Okay, you're just kind of in pause mode, all right? And we rejoice in the pause, amen? Extend the pause, Lord, please, right? So whatever happens, together or apart, individually or collectively, there's four ways to offer the sacrifice of praise. And the first way we do it is we keep praying in faith in the midst of life challenges. All right? I don't stop praying when circumstances start being painful. In fact, that's the thing most likely that will draw you back to God and get you praying like you've never prayed before, amen? It's kind of like the conversation with God was okay before and then all of a sudden the seas get rough and now you're like, God! That's by intention. God knew that you would do that. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12. Let's read it together. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. How are we doing on that, church? I feel convicted right now just saying it. Be constant in prayer. Why? Because God's goodness is constant. God's presence is constant. Now, you may forget that, but that doesn't change the fact that God's power, God's presence, God's goodness, God's love, and God's plan is constant. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Let's read that together. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know what God's will is? It's right there. You need to rejoice even when you don't feel like it. You need to pray constantly without ceasing in everything, not for everything. I don't praise God for cancer. I don't praise God for auto accidents. I don't praise God for relationships that are falling apart. I don't pray, God, you know, but in it, I can praise him. In it, I can praise him. I don't like those things. And God knows I don't like those things. And God doesn't expect me to like fake it or be a super spiritual or hyper spiritual Christian and go, oh, wow, you know, I just lost my job. Praise the Lord. Who does that? God closes a door. He'll open a window. Don't you just want to go to those people in that moment? Because you're not feeling it right there in that moment. But we keep praying in faith. Our praying doesn't change because God's goodness and presence doesn't change. Number two, we keep praising in faith. And you know, there are so many examples here in the room. I can't look at your faces. You've done it. Keep praising in faith. The Bible says this, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is what? Genuine. It is being tested as the fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith, though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Let's finish it together. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. See, it's counterintuitive, it's supernatural. I saw people in this room rejoicing with an inexpressible joy when everything in the legal case naturally says not to do it. But it's because their faith, their belief in the goodness and presence of God. The third way that we can offer the sacrifice of praise in the midst of life, hurt and challenges is to keep obeying in faith, right? We see this in Jesus. Again, Matthew 26, I want us to read that together. Ready? My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Wow. Honesty meets constancy of obedience. It's not like Jesus is going, hey, sign me up for crucifixion. I'm so excited about that. In fact, this is the only time in the scriptures that you'll see Jesus encounter the will of God and not want to do it. He'll go, you got a plan B in there somewhere? Yet. Key word, yet not my will be done, but your will be done. Look at what the psalmist writes in Psalm 119. Let's read that together. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver. Yeah, our obedience to God's ways and will don't change because circumstances change. Right? God's presence and plan and power, they haven't changed. Neither will my prayers, neither will my praise, and neither will our obedience. Amen. That's what we're shooting for. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I mean, it's way easier to be cynical and doubtful and angry than to be faithful and praying and praising. Can we have a cup of honesty? It's way easier. That's why God delights in it. That you know the real score. Number four, the way we offer the sacrifice of praise in our daily life is we keep trusting and believing in faith in the midst of life's challenges. Let's read Psalm 62:8 together. Ready? Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Do you see how God's an authentic God who recognizes authentic feelings? That you need to pour out your heart and everything that's in it, your sadness, your confusion, your frustration. You need to do that. That's actually trusting him with all of those negative emotions. That's what Jesus did. That's what our examples did, right? Because life is highs and lows, peaks and pits, victories and defeats. Our trust doesn't change in either of those places. Why? Because God does not change, right? In John 16:33, Jesus said this, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me." Let's finish it together. "Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." Wow. Make a sacrifice of praise. Take heart. I've overcome all that. I'm gonna redeem all that. I'm doing the accounting here. I see you. I'm Elroy, the God who sees. I see you in the small spaces. I see you in the big spaces. Can I just say, even today, it's almost got me shaking at what's happening in our church family and the timing of this message. As this last week, we lost a pillar unexpectedly of our church, Jim McCain. And man, I've watched Marlene, our Mimar, walk in the midst of the fire with Jesus right there, sobbing, hugging. What am I gonna do with talking with the DoorDash guy? Do you know Jesus? Like these sacrifices of praise. She keeps praying, she keeps praising, she keeps obeying, she keeps trusting and believing. I see Cruz Melendez here. And we're so happy that you're here, Cruz. We're so like, I could hardly walk to the stage. I saw you and I saw your eyes and I saw your amazing smile. And I saw that what you've been through, it's a miracle. We just kind of looked at each other. It's like, it's a miracle, right, bro? It's a miracle, but you're here, you know? And Cruz is missing a part of his leg from the accident. High school senior, man. But you know what? He's offering the sacrifice of praise right now. And Cruz, I just want you to tell you that God delights in you. The fact that you're here, God delights in you. God delights in you. You see, the sacrifice of praise looks like us reflecting the power of the gospel. It's counterintuitive. That doesn't make sense. Mimar, Cruz, they have the legal case to be really angry with God, but they're not, because they believe in the constancy of his goodness and his presence. They see Jesus hanging on that cross and they go, you know, if God can redeem that, he can redeem the scene, the situation that I'm going through. There are people here who have lost babies. There are people here who have lost loved ones. There are people here who have lost limbs. There are people here who just unscripted things happened. I'm so sorry. But I want you to know that God's love and God's presence and God's goodness remains. And the fact that you're here and you're hearing the sound of my voice, you are offering the sacrifice of praise. You know, the sacrifice of praise looks like this. If you're taking notes, you'll want to write this down. It affirms God's goodness when you don't see it. We sing about that. It affirms God's goodness when you don't feel it. It affirms God's goodness when you can't justify it. And when you can't see it, you can't feel it, and you can't justify it, the only thing that bridges it is faith to another reality, a supernatural one. That's where miracles are. That's where the gospel is. That's where God is. That's where God's good, God's loving, he's unchanging, he's merciful, he's present, and he's here for you in the midst. So I'm just looking at faces right now, and I'm just seeing lots of trauma and loss. But you know what? You're here, and you're offering the sacrifice of praise. You know, there's a song called Hallelujah Anyway. That's where I got my title. I love it. Been singing it this week. It says, I'll find a way to praise you from the bottom of my broken heart. Because I think I'd rather strike a match than curse the dark. yeah, I'll find a way to thank you. Though the bitterness is real and hard, because I'd rather take a chance on hope than fall apart. I don't think I'm ready to surrender to the dark, no. So even if my daylight never dawns, even if my breakthrough never comes, even if I'll fight to bring you praise, even if my dreams fall to the ground, even if I'm lost, I know I'm found. Even if my heart will somehow say hallelujah anyway. See, some of us here right now, we're praising God. Others of us here, we're not feeling it. Others of us here, we are desperate. And in that, with that in mind, we're gonna do something now individually and collectively, and it's just a little space for you. Individually, we wanna create a space for you to take a step of faith and offer to God a sacrifice of praise simply by moving your body. If the words confusion, anger, disappointment, loneliness, if there's something going on that's happened that's unscripted, you can just get up right now. I want our prayer teams right now to come up. I want everybody who's on our prayer team, elders, pastors, if that fits you, get strong leaders. I want you to come. Warren, would you come up? I want you to pray a blessing over people. So if something unscripted has happened to you, all we want to do is bless you. You don't need to say anything. Our elders and pastors and leaders are going to just speak a blessing over you. And so the band's gonna play a little music behind us. And can we just give room for individuals who need that blessing in the midst to just come forward right now? And then after that, collectively, we're gonna come to the altar and we're gonna offer a sacrifice of praise. So if you need prayer right now, I want you to come and find someone. Rich, could you come up, please? You're part of that group. I want you to just, and let's just support and pray for those that are coming for prayer. So if you're going through something right now, unscripted, you want a blessing, come forward right now.